Oh, welcome back, everybody, to your favorite new podcast, Leonard's Flick Fix. I'm your host, Leonard Cox, and on this podcast, I bring you essential movie summaries, packed with all the key plot points, character insights, cinematic details, and big moments. This is where you get the full story in an easy format so you can stay in the loop with all the movie talk between your friends and family.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime.
All right, so let's go ahead and dive into today's movie. Still in theaters, released September 13th, Speak No Evil 2024, the psychological thriller directed by James Watkins and starring James McAvoy. This is the actor who did, like, X-Men, main villain in Split and Glass, that crazy, amazing actor who's just so good in thrillers, and he did another fantastic job. So as always, I'll read the IMDb description summary. A family is invited to spend a whole weekend in a lonely home in the countryside. But as the weekend progresses, they realize that a dark side lies within the family who invited them. Okay, we've got an absolute doozy, so I'm going to go ahead and dive right in. Okay, so this is a remake from a Danish film, Speak No Evil, in 2022. Now, James McAvoy, our lead actor, he decided not to watch that film to get absolutely no reference from what was already done. And I think that was a great decision. He definitely made it his own. We open up with a beautiful setting. I'm fairly certain that these guys have shot this film in an absolutely beautiful European area. We see our main family, not James McAvoy's family. We see our main, nice, warm family sitting at the poolside, reading their books, enjoying their music, and the kid is chilling in the pool. They're relaxing. And then we get introduced to James McAvoy's character. He walks over to the family's poolside area, and he says, "Can I borrow this?" as he points to a lounger. The only thing that was on the lounger was a little bunny and a book. So no big deal, but kind of strange, but no big deal. So the family's, you know, watching the guy who just took their lounger, and he's got a beautiful, James McAvoy's family's beautiful, beautiful wife, beautiful kid. They're enjoying a beer really early in the day. And James McAvoy, he takes a big dive into the pool, big fun. He's just very energetic. Right off the bat, we get introduced to James McAvoy and his family. Very energetic, very cool. And we notice that our main husband, Ben, and Liz, the wife, have their daughter, Atticus, and they're all looking at them, essentially going like, huh, weird energy, but whatever, no big deal. Almost, Ben, the husband, is almost looking at James McAvoy's family as like, wow, they've got some energy, interesting. They even notice them later in the day dancing in their room, like in their underwear, really having fun, very spicy couple, essentially. Then we cut to all of these it's like a group travel trip, it seems like. So no one's actually really close to each other. No one really knows each other. But James McAvoy, he looks over at Ben, our main husband character, and as they're getting talked to by a really old dude who's just like going on and on and on, he puts the gun in his mouth and shoots it, you know, acting like he's going to kill himself because it's so annoying to hear. And then Ben kind of chuckles at it because it is really annoying to listen to this old guy. We get another cut to our family, Ben, Liz, and Atticus, walking around Europe exploring things. And then Atticus realizes that she, the daughter, doesn't have her Hoppy, her bunny. And Ben is very agitated by this. Clearly, he's saying to Liz, she's 12, she, you know, shouldn't really have a hobby that she gets panic attacks about when she loses it. So we get a fun little montage of Ben going to search Europe for Hoppy the bunny, looking all around, you know, trying to find, you know, the thing that would calm his daughter down. So then we cut back to the family, and Ben just arrives back with them. And, of course, we get introduced officially to James McAvoy and his family because they have found her bunny. The boy that James McAvoy's family has is not, he doesn't talk. It seems like he's got some kind of medical problem or disability. But James McAvoy and his wife, they're just so full of life and so happy. They're riding around their Vespa enjoying themselves. And Atticus asks if she could ride with James McAvoy on the on the Vespa and enjoy. But Liz and Ben, they're a little reluctant, especially because they don't have helmets and all that. But James McAvoy reassures them that it's going to be safe. Don't worry, I won't call the fun police if you don't, kind of thing. And Liz, the mom, holds the bunny in her hat and reluctantly lets Atticus go with James McAvoy on the scooter. The family's the wife of James McAvoy and the kid are just looking at the two parents, and they're just kind of staring at them, kind of strangely. And then the wife, she just goes, "Oh, don't worry, she'll be fine." And as that happens, they pull right around, no big deal, no big problems. But we saw the fear in Liz's eyes, the wife, the mother, I should say, the mother. Anyways, we then do another cut to the dinner that they are having. They end up becoming friends, and they leave the original group, quote unquote, and have a lovely dinner between families where it's James McAvoy, his wife, and his kid, Aunt. And then we have Ben, Liz, and Atticus. So there's our two main families. Again, just to reiterate, they're having a lovely time. They're talking about their occupations. We learned that Ben had just gotten a big severance package because his company went down. Liz left America to go live in London, is where that the main family lives. And there's some hairiness there in the conversation, but we move past it. We learn that James McAvoy's character, he is a doctor, and his wife is like a stay-at-home mom of sorts, but used to take care of children. And we try to talk to Aunt again, and Aunt doesn't have a very, you know, Aunt doesn't speak, the boy. But then she asks Aunt if they want to go play, if they just want to go talk over, you know, there by the swing set and enjoy themselves and have a fun time. We get another montage of the couples becoming even greater friends. Not crazy good friends, however, mind you, but okay friends, like, you know, European friends, as you would say. And, you know, they're enjoying themselves without their children and having a good time. Then we cut to a very rainy London where the original family lives. So their vacation seems to be over and they're heading back to their home where the wife, you know, reluctantly is like, "Why are we living in London again? Because it's pouring rain and all this and that." We still notice that Atticus can't separate from Hoppy, her little special support bunny, the stuffed animal bunny. And Ben is just getting more agitated with the fact that she can't separate from it because she's 12, she's about to be a teenager, she needs to not have her little stuffed animal. Then, as Liz is opening up the mail, she notices that there's a little postcard from James McAvoy and his wife. Wrote a lovely letter saying, "Come stay at the countryside with us. You know, we had such a great time. Stay for a week and you'll enjoy it." And clearly there's something wrong with Liz and Ben. They seem kind of agitated with each other. There's just really not a lot going on. So clearly there's something wrong in their relationship that I'm sure we'll get to. And then as they're reading it, jokingly, Ben's like, why don't we go? You know, just, you know, take a break and just relax or whatever. And Liz is like, "Well, it seems kind of strange to go drive however long to the countryside to, you know, people that we really don't know. We met for like a couple days in Europe." And then Ben was like, "Yeah, you're right. It's not a good idea." But as, you know, that happens, Liz says, "You know what? Screw it. Let's go ahead and go." So they do it. They go ahead and pack up and they say, "We're going to go head over to your guys' place for a week and enjoy." As they arrive, it's a European, you know, it's like a little farmland, it seems like. Nothing like crazy rich or fancy. It's quite cozy, not spacious whatsoever. For a doctor's house, you would expect a little more bouginess, but again, it's, you know, countryside, so it's just quaint and nice and all that good stuff. We then start exploring the house, and we explore Aunt's room, the boy. Aunt, again, is quiet, sitting in his little upstairs, honestly, attic, essentially. Like, if you think about Harry Potter's living situation underneath the stairs, just multiply that by, like, 4 or 5, and this is about where Aunt lives and where Atticus will be sleeping with Aunt as well on the floor on the mattress next to him. So not a very big room, but again, it's a little boy's room. I understand it. No big deal there. And as they're getting acquainted, getting ready for dinner, we see James McAvoy really roughhousing with his boy, like pretty rough, but it's like, you know, it makes sense. He's a very energetic character. They're so playful and fun. It's like, wow, this is such a really strong family. It's so great. It's so great. And then James McAvoy is looking at their hosts, you know, Ben and Liz, and he's like, we have a treat for you guys. We plucked the golden goose. We got the golden goose, and I should have mentioned that Liz is a vegetarian. And there's some, you know, hemming and hawing between vegetarian with James McAvoy's character, because he likes to hunt and eat meat. And so they got this goose and all prepped and ready to go for their special arrival. And he cuts open this little piece in the goose that they already cooked and then feeds it to Liz. And Liz is like, I'm good. And then James McAvoy keeps insisting that she takes this bite, almost as if forgetting that she was a vegetarian, which he may have done. It's fair. I mean, it was a long time ago, and it was only for a brief second. So anyways, she reluctantly eats the goose and just, like, fakes yums it. And as everyone looks away, she, like, spits it out. So a little bit of weirdness there, but no big deal. We fought through it. So then Ben, after dinner, a lovely dinner, offers to take out the trash. So he goes out and takes out the trash. And then we get, like, this little jump scare of Ant, the boy, right behind him as he takes out the trash, trying to speak. Like, it sounds like, like he doesn't really have a tongue, kind of. Apparently, he has a small tongue. And it was kind of weird, but we just kind of let it go, and we move on. They bond by the campfire. They smoke some weed and relax a little bit. Obviously, Liz, the mother, she doesn't really relax. She is very, she's pretty uptight, I would like to say. You know, she's got an injury. She takes modern medicine. She's a vegetarian. And James McAvoy smokes weed and eats meat, hunts, very natural guy. It's a kind of a cool combination contrast between these two characters. As they're getting ready for bed, as Ben and Liz are getting ready for bed, they notice that the sheets are really stained and kind of gross. Almost like, you know, it's kind of gross to sleep in someone's house and it's the sheets don't appear washed or clean or whatever. But Ben convinces her that it's the countryside and this is how they do it, you know, might not have a very big salary. Anyways, as they're getting ready for bed, Atticus knocks on the door, opens the door, and says that she can't fall asleep. And so Ben says, the dad says, let me go help you breathe upstairs into your bed. And Liz says, come here and sleep with us in our bed. So clearly the parents aren't on the same page, and now Atticus is sleeping with the parents with their breathing app in the bed to help them go to sleep. They wake up the next morning. They're on a big hike going out through the beautiful countryside. It's absolutely brilliant. Very beautiful. More talking, more getting to know each character. And we just learned that Liz and James McAvoy's character are really opposites, essentially. Liz is a homebody who wants to, you know, be a very good mother. James McAvoy is a hunter who is tough and raises his boys, but he's very fun and very fun. So Atticus goes and finds a swing. The girl, the daughter, finds a swing, and Ant, for some reason, won't move out of the way. And James McAvoy, the father of Ant, is very confused why he's not moving. So he tells him to move, you know, as a good, like, very joyfully. And as Ant doesn't move, we see the first, like, snap of James McAvoy's character, where he just, like, grabs Ant's shirt and, like, rips him away from Atticus's, like, general swing area. And everyone was kind of weirded out by it. So then he tells Ant, go push Atticus, you know. And then Ant follows and pushes Atticus on the swing. And as she's swinging, he kind of, you know, it's just kind of a weird, eerie, like, weird father style. But no one's telling anyone how to teach their own kid how to grow up. So we notice that Liz has a little kink in her neck, and James McAvoy, like, rubs it out as a doctor in front of everybody. A little weird, but not that weird. Then James McAvoy, we cut to them at, like, this big cliffside where he says, one of the best therapeutic things that raises, you know, your, you know, health is jumping into some cold water. So they all strip down into their underwear, and they all jump into the water. And Liz, being the careful mother that she is like, is this safe? You know, and James McAvoy says, I've done it 100 times, no big deal. And they all jump, but we notice that Ant can't really swim. And James McAvoy says, oh, don't worry, this is just a teaching. I'm just, you know, it's a teaching lesson. Don't worry about it. So he's, like, almost drowning, but then James McAvoy kind of grabs him and holds him. And Liz is trying to get the courage to go jump in the water, but everyone's kind of like, why aren't you jumping in, Liz? Let's go. And Liz, being, you know, frightful as she is, or more worrisome, she does it at like last second. And then we cut to them, you know, breaking an electrical outlet. It like explodes. Like the house is kind of run down. It's not great, but it's a beautiful area. It makes sense. No worries. And Liz then speaks her mind to Ben, her husband, about not feeling great about this situation. They feel a little uncomfortable, and she says that she's not really getting along with James McAvoy's character very well. And she says, maybe we can blame my shoulder injury and we could leave. And then Ben's like, what are you talking about? We just got here. Come on, let's just stay and enjoy. And as that's happening, they get interrupted by the wife of James McAvoy, and she invites them to go to a really, really beautiful dinner. She's like making it sound all like gourmet and extremely private and like all like right next. It's just like super, super private. They get all very fancy, ready to go. And James McAvoy's friend walks in the door, and he says he'll be watching the kids. He's a great guy. He doesn't speak great English, but don't worry about it. You know, he used to teach kids in his country until his country like exploded or whatever. And so James McAvoy's almost making a joke of it, while this guy just seems a little depressed. But Liz feels a little uncomfortable with leaving the kids with this random dude. But Ben, as the father, he's like, you know what? Don't worry about it, honey. He watches kids for a living. They'll be fine. And so they leave the kids with this random guy, and we see the dude doing magic tricks to the kids as they leave. So no crazy hard feelings there. Doesn't seem like they're too stressed about the children. As they're driving to the new destination, it's like a really swervy, crazy road where James McAvoy is like, if you get motion sickness like I do, it would be hell on earth. And we could see that Liz is very uncomfortable and might be getting some motion sickness. So another situation where the hosts are being kind of weird or just a little clueless, but no real big deal. It's just a little eeriness here and there, you know. And they get to this beautiful, like literally a tiny little room on like the ocean where it essentially looks like some dude's house, but it's apparently this really famous private chef that no one knows. It's like a good friend, like a cousin almost of James McAvoy in the countryside. So, they just got the one seat there, and they're having a great little dinner. And James McAvoy and Liz almost get in an argument, like an actual genuine argument about vegan, vegetarian, eating meat, eating fish. And James McAvoy is saying, you got to eat your fish, you got to eat your meat. And Liz is saying, but it's bad for the environment, all this. And James McAvoy has got a very strong, how would you say, belief system, clearly. He sure sticks to his guns, but when it gets a little intense, he snaps out of it and he says, I love it that we can have this conversation freely and be very open and awesome. And it's lovely, you know. So then we cut to the kids playing hide and seek with the babysitter. The kids are hiding from the babysitter as the babysitter's counting. Aunt opens this drawer and he's showing Atticus something. He pulls up like this drawer and it's just full of watches, very beautiful, fancy watches. And Aunt is showing Atticus the engravement on the watch. And it's a bunch of names that we don't know. It's just kind of random. And Aunt puts the watch back into place as the babysitter starts approaching. No big deal. And Atticus doesn't really understand what he's trying to show her. We pan back to the dinner. We then start talking about, like, sex in marriage and how James McAvoy and his wife have sex once a day. They role play. They do all these stuff to keep it spicy. And then Ben and his wife, Liz says, Ben would get lucky if we have sex once a month. And Ben looks kind of flustered by that. And then they start talking about parents and how parents destroy you, essentially. Parents, you know, they teach you all the worst things, and you either follow them or you go the opposite direction of them. And it was kind of interesting to hear everyone's parents' backstory. And we heard from James McAvoy's wife that she doesn't really know her family, her parents at all, which was an interesting take. Liz believes that her parents were fantastic and James McAvoy's parents were just the worst. Okay, and as they're wrapping up their dinner, the check comes to go pay the, you know, special chef gourmet guy in his house. And he hands it to James McAvoy, and then James McAvoy is like, woof, this is a steep bill. And then Ben offers to pay, and he hands him the receipt immediately and then leaves. So James McAvoy and his wife hand Ben the receipt, and then they leave. Another weird host moment where it's like you don't fight over the check. He just offers and you just give it to him. So a little strange. So then we get a cut to the kids. We get a cut to Attica's face, really close up of her, and then Ant puts his hand on her mouth as to not make a sound. She freaks out for a second, but then calms down, and then Ant, the boy, lifts up his shirt and shows all these scars and cuts all up on his body. And now Atticus is a little confused, but then the door starts to open and rattle, so they go fake back to sleep as the parents had just gotten home from their date. Then we cut to the parents, Liz and Ben, arguing in their room, essentially, over that comment about having sex once a month and how it makes me look and, you know, how weird everything is about this and that. And, you know, we hear that Liz gave up everything for Ben so that way Ben could live in London, do the job that he doesn't even have anymore. And it's just kind of uncomfortable that these guys are fighting. But they kind of resolve it a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of love resolve, and it's definitely they're both trying. They're essentially saying that they're both trying to make something work, to make it work, almost like their marriage. So there's definitely a deep longing of love that they just can't seem to have the chemistry to find. And as this happens, we get the first weird, scary, spooky thing that happened that made me lean up in the theaters. As they're making up and hugging each other, we get a wide shot of the room, and the door is like a tiny bit transparent where you can see like a shadow, and we could see that James McAvoy was staring through their door, transparent door, during their argument and doesn't come in, doesn't say anything. He was just like eavesdropping and staring at them. A little spooky, a little creepy, and he was there for a long time. It was really uncomfortable. It was super intense. So then we're in the night, and we cut to Liz, the wife, wakes up, and she's like, I'm going to go check on the kids. She goes, checks on the kids, and guess who's not in their beds in the middle of the night? But both Aunt and Atticus are not in their beds. So Liz is freaking the fuck out. She is like, where's my kid? So she's like running around the house, trying to open doors quietly, trying to find Atticus. And she decides to go into James McAvoy and his wife's room. And she slowly opens the door. And as she opens the door, we see Atticus and Aunt both cuddling, well, both sleeping with James McAvoy and his wife in their bed. So that's a big no-no, right? You don't grab someone else's daughter and put them in your bed. Not to mention they're both in their underwear. So a little creepy, definitely creepy. So Liz was able to sneakily grab Atticus out of their bed without waking anyone up, go to Ben, wake him up and say, we're leaving. And so Ben agrees, and they pack all their stuff, they get into the car, and they start getting ready to go. And again, it's dark. It's like just about sunrise time. And as they're leaving in their Tesla, we see Ant put his hand up on the window and Atticus look up and see him. And it's like a connection between these two kids. So then we're already noticing that something's up with the kids. And of course, as they're driving home and they felt really off and really, really, really weird, guess who forgot their stuffed emotional bunny? But Atticus. So obviously she starts having a panic attack because she doesn't have her bunny. And obviously Ben gets super angry because she is emotionally attached to this bunny. And now guess what they have to do? Go back into the house and get the stuffed bunny so that way Atticus can calm down. So not a happy husband here. Ben is not happy. And as they're unhappy and Ben is arguing, Atticus starts having a fit and kicking his chair, and they almost run into a semi truck, and it just is intense. So they decide to turn back. And as they're turning back, Atticus starts like scratching her arm, and she's like, I don't want Hoppy to get what Aunt has. I don't want them to do what they did to Aunt to Hoppy. So the parents are like kind of confused, but whatever, because it's a stuffed bunny, so it doesn't really matter. So interesting thought there that something's happening to Ant, apparently. And we did see him all scarred up, so that's interesting. So they roll back into the house, and Ben says, stay in the car. And both the girls stay in the car, and Ben goes into the house quietly and sneakily. and it's taking a little too long, so Liz decides to leave Atticus in the car and go into the house. She opens the door quietly, and it's a big screaming match. And we note that both James McAvoy and his wife are awake and kind of teary-eyed and kind of like extremely confused, I guess is a great way to put it, because from their point of view, from the normal folk, I guess, right, if they're the normal ones, quote-unquote, they're saying, well, our guest just left out of the blue, didn't say goodbye, and we're really confused what's going on, and we deserve to know why you guys left. Just tell us the truth. So Ben is essentially saying, like, Atticus had a small bed, she wasn't very comfortable, and I think we just needed to leave. I'm so sorry. And then Liz essentially goes like, no, that's not why we left. We left because I found my daughter in your bed. That is not okay. And then we learned that they start bawling. James McAvoy and his wife start bawling. And we find out that they had lost a daughter. They had lost a daughter before Aunt. It was a year old baby girl, and she died. And that is the reason why she grabbed Atticus, because she had these motherly instincts, and it makes sense. It makes sense. When you lose someone, and when you lose a baby like that, it honestly makes sense in all sorts of different ways. So Aunt shows up, the families are all cuddling each other, and they essentially go, why don't you stay for a little bit now that you understand what happened? You know, why don't you stay? So then Ben and Liz look at each other with Atticus, and Atticus finds her Hoppy, her bunny, and they're all saying, like, okay, we can stay. We'll stay a little longer. So they go ahead and stay. Reluctantly, but stay, because James McAvoy is a very strong and convincing individual. So then we cut to the kids painting eggs while the parents are talking, and we see that Aunt hands Atticus this note, and it is not eligible. It's not legible. Very not very readable at all. But he hands it to her very sly and stealthy. And I want to keep that in note. And as that happens, his mother, James McAvoy's wife, notices and walks over and wants to check in on how the kids are doing. And Atticus and Aunt grabs the paper from Atticus's hand and eats it, swallows it. So Aunt is clearly trying to tell something and hide it from his parents. Like, it's obvious, but he can't speak, so it's kind of iffy. So then we cut to the dads. James McAvoy and Ben are singing, and well, James McAvoy is singing in the car while Ben just kind of watches. It's like kind of awkward. And then we cut to Atticus secretly talking to her mom, Liz, that Aunt gave her this card and this note. And something's off, and they're doing something to Aunt. And Liz just kind of puts this aside, especially because she found out that they lost, you know, a daughter. Things are a little weird. And then we get, like, a little tiny jump scare. James McAvoy's wife just pops up out of nowhere and asks Atticus to go help her pick some stuff up. Then we cut back to the guys. They're hunting. They're hunting for some fox. Ben has a clear shot at shooting this fox. He doesn't take it. And James McAvoy, you would assume, would be, like, not really too thrilled about, you know, going hunting and then Ben not taking the shot when they had it. But we learned that James McAvoy, he's more excited about the hunt itself. He loves the idea of, like, really chasing down his prey. He doesn't even need to kill the prey necessarily. He just wants to have the target on it, you know, and he really enjoys the thrill of that. And as they're talking man to man, James McAvoy says, this is probably way over the line, I'm sorry, but I couldn't help but overhear you guys arguing last night. So that was when we saw James McAvoy, like, staring through the window, I mean, through the door very creepily. And he says, it's not right to have someone cheat in your relationship. So we found out that Ben then divulges to James McAvoy that his wife had a dick pic on her phone, text from her phone, of another man, and so it's, you know, uncomfortable and a little weird. And the wife, Liz, I think, seemed to, you know, hide it from Ben, and Ben found it. So there's some hairiness there. It's cheating, but it's not cheating. You know, it's all this. So then James McAvoy says, let me show you something. And Ben says, okay. So they go walk up to the top of this hill, and James McAvoy is like literally throwing Ben around like a rag doll as they walk up because he's such a strong character. It's like he's such a strong character. James McAvoy is just like kind of throwing him up this hill, and Ben is just kind of following. Ben's just a follower. He's definitely a follower. So then James McAvoy, they get up to the top of the hill with Ben, and James McAvoy just like Wolverine screams on the at the top of his lungs, like screams. So it's seeming like it's this very therapeutic screaming that these men are doing. So Ben joins in and actually joins in, and they just start screaming because it sounds like they want to get out what's inside, you know. Ben wanted to get out this hatred of this other guy and this scenario, and it's just ugly. And they have a very therapeutic moment where they're just screaming at the top of their lungs on this hill, holding each other. And then they just like start laughing, and it's just awesome. It's really cool. So then we cut to the wives and the kids getting ready for dinner. And James McAvoy shows their guests the sculptures that his wife makes. And it says like Loving Mother is the title of this sculpture. And it's just like this screaming pregnant woman, like screaming pregnant woman with like a super open mouth, really weird. And like, they don't really know how to, react. Liz and Ben, they're just like, oh, okay, cool. And as it's happening, and then Liz cuts her finger as she's cutting some vegetables, and they're like, ooh, let's get it underwater. Let's go, you know? And then, James McAvoy and his wife follow them into the kitchen, and as she's running her water on her finger, Ben jokingly says, well, thank God we have a doctor in the house. And then James McAvoy goes, we don't have a doctor in the house. Ben and Liz look at the family, and they're like, what do you mean? You told us you were a doctor. He goes, oh, I did. And then James McAvoy's wife goes like, yeah, sorry about that. James McAvoy, my husband gets kind of insecure when he's introducing himself to people. So he's actually like a weed farmer, and he doesn't really work. He just works around the farm. And it gets like really intense. And these guys are just like super like freaked out. And then they start James McAvoy and his wife start laughing. It's a joke. They were joking. And every joke that they tell seems to be a little too far and a little too real, especially given that we saw what happened with Ant and his body. And it's just kind of weird. So as they're at the dinner table, eating like breakfast or lunch, it's hard to tell. It's very sunny there. And they're outside. The wife asks Atticus to eat her vegetables, almost as if she is her mother. And then Liz looks at Ben, and they look at each other, but they let it go. Because again, we know that she lost a daughter, so it's a little strange. Then, literally 2 seconds later, James McAvoy's wife looks at Atticus and says, chew with your mouth closed. And then Liz and Ben are like really uncomfortable, but they again let it slide. And then 2 seconds later, the same girl, she says, chew with your mouth closed, Atticus. And then Liz is like, stop telling my daughter what to do. That is not okay. You're not allowed to do that. And then there's like another bit of anger between James McAvoy and Liz as they're bickering about how to raise a kid. And James McAvoy is like, well, isn't it pretty disgusting when I chew with my mouth open like this? And then Liz is like, well, you don't tell us how to raise our daughter. That is not okay. You're not allowed to do that. And then they say, you know what? You're right. My fault. We apologize. They all do apologies to each other, and they let it go. They pour some wine, and then Ben asks the kids to do this dance routine that they've been practicing. So they're dressed up in these cowboy outfits, and the children get in front of the parents, and they hit the tape where it's like Cotton Eye Joe. And as they're dancing, it's like a cute little children's dance, and they're just the you know, everyone's loving it. They're laughing. It's great. And then James McAvoy pauses the tape, and he goes, no, Ant, what are you doing? You got no rhythm. What are you doing? You got to follow Atticus here. What are you doing? And then Ben and Liz are like, oh, it's okay. Just start from the top. No worries. So then James McAvoy tells his son, Ant, he's like, okay, Ant, you got it. Start from the top. You got this. And then he hits play, and then we get a close-up of James McAvoy, and he's just, like, very irritated. Boom, hit stop again. And he's like, Ant, what are you doing? Follow the beat. Follow the rhythm. You got to do better. Again, he hits play again. They start the dance again. Now it's getting really eerie, and it's the same dance. Ant's not changing. It's not getting any better. Boom, hits play, they dance. Boom, hits pause, yells at ant. Boom, hits play, pause, yells at ant. And then he pauses and throws like some food at ant and screams at him, freakishly screams at him. And Atticus is just like freaked out. She runs back to her parents. And, you know, everyone's like, what the hell are you doing, man? Like, what are you doing? Like, everyone's so confused why he's just ripping into his son right now. And he yells at him to go to his room. And it's just, like, super, super uncomfortable. And everyone parts ways, like, literally leaves because they're yelling at each other because they're all probably a little bit drunk as well, I guess. But it's very uncomfortable and clearly not the appropriate way to, you know, raise a child. But Liz and Ben stand up to James McAvoy and they go, like, you can't raise a child like that. You are not allowed to do that. And then James McAvoy says, oh, now you're telling me how to, you know, raise my child. Interesting. And then Liz is like, well, what you're doing is truly wrong. That is not okay. But then as James McAvoy does, you know, his character, he's able to kind of calm everyone down and they, you know, they take a break for a second and he's freaking out at his boy still or whatever. But they all take a break, they all relax, and he goes, takes a nap. All right, so that's definitely the final straw for Liz. She's saying, like, okay, we're packing the kid up and we're leaving. And Ben's saying, like, yeah, we're both drunk. We need to, like, get sober somehow. So let me at least get some coffee in me. So Liz accepts. Ben goes, gets coffee. And then, you know, Liz essentially goes up to the wife and tells her that we're leaving. We got to go. The wife of James McAvoy says, I understand. But if you could just, you know, say goodbye to, you know, my husband, he would really appreciate that as well. You know, they've done this much for them. I think a goodbye is, you know, what he deserves, or else it'd kind of get violent. So then we cut to James McAvoy sleeping and we see Ant grabbing the keys off of his belt. Very quietly, very diligently, grabs the keys off the belt. So as they're waiting for James McAvoy to wake up, Ant asks Atticus to go play without words, obviously. And he's definitely got an ulterior motive. So he gets them to go to this, like, weird little shack, not very far away from anybody. And he tells Atticus to follow her. And Atticus definitely will, because Ant has been revealing some crazy stuff a lot lately. So Ant keeps reminding her to be very quiet, and Ant keeps checking over his shoulder constantly. So he opens up, using the keys, this weird-looking shed, and there's a trap door underneath the floor, both two trap doors. And Ant knows all about it. He's figured this out. They go down, and they explore. And down there is something that just absolutely is terrifying to Atticus. They see a bunch of suitcases, clothes, children's clothes, all sorts of travel accessories, stuffed animals, telephones, bras, phones, all this crazy stuff. And then Ant goes and pulls this book. He grabs this book and he starts, like, pointing at this picture book, and he keeps pointing at these kids. And in each one of the pictures, James McAvoy and his wife have a different child. Not only is it a different child, but they're taking group photos with another family couple. And each family has one child, and that one child goes to James McAvoy and his wife in every other photo. So it's seeming like they abduct a family and a child. They take the abducted family's child and then use that child to get another child and to get another child. And it's just like, what the hell is going on? So clearly it's insanely scary. It's horrifying. And we're noticing that essentially these guys abduct a family, they take their child and cut their tongues, because we got a picture of Ant with his tongue sticking out. And then he opens his mouth and just does the scissor motion. And it is just so eerie and so terrifying. So Atticus is like, what do I do with this information? Like, I don't understand. She's freaking out. And then Ant grabs a photo of them, all of them together, and at the back of the book, and puts in the back of the book, and he's essentially saying, they're going to take you, and they're going to kill me, and they're going to kill your parents. And he did all this without speaking. So he says, take out your phone, and, well, he gestures, take out your phone and take a picture of this book. So Atticus does it. They hide that they've been in there, and they escape with, I mean, they get out with no one really noticing. And then Atticus, with this knowledge, is like, Dad, come play football with me and let's play catch. He says, nah, I'm good for now. I'm drinking some coffee, because they want to leave. The parents want to get out there too. So then Ant goes back up to the room to go find James McAvoy's sleeping body to put the keys back on his belt before he finds out. And guess who's waiting for Ant but James McAvoy? Then we see James McAvoy treating Ant poorly in their private bedroom, and he's like forcing him to show love and affection to him. He's like, come here and show me true love. You know, let me see it. I want to see love. They hold, they squeeze tight. And Ant's just trying to find a good time to like put the keys back on his belt before he notices. And so he's able to snag the keys on James McAvoy's belt as they're like holding each other and loving each other. And James McAvoy is like impressed that Ant has shown actual love. So it's like, huh, interesting. So then he says, all right, come on and follow me. We got to show them that, you know, we love each other after that debacle. So they come outside. And as they're coming outside, we see that Atticus is hiding in the bushes and pokes herself and makes herself bleed, almost appearing that she just had her first period. So she runs out of the bushes screaming to her mother and is like, what do I do with this? And then Liz is like, oh, you just had your first period. Let's go handle that. So they go to the bathroom privately. And Ant is like trying to convince James McAvoy to play some football and like, you know, get rough. And that's all James McAvoy's ever wanted. So he's like, okay, we'll do it. So Ant is essentially distracting James McAvoy as Atticus goes, and we're assuming going to tell her mom what she took a picture of. She shows her mom the photos, tells her everything. And Liz is like calmly freaking out and then tells Atticus, lock herself in the bathroom. I'll come get you in a second. Just remain calm. And then as Liz closes the door, she's just like hands on the mouth, wide open, freaking out, gasping, knowing that they're in extreme danger. But Liz, being as clutch and as ice in the veins as humanly possible, she goes, hey, Ben, the husband, Atticus is looking for you. I know you're better with this stuff than I am when she's freaking out. So Ben is like, okay, fine. I'll reluctantly go do it. And then now we know that Ben, Liz, and Atticus, their little family, now know exactly why they're there and what's supposed to happen. So they're freaking out, making a plan, trying to figure out how to escape. So as they discuss their plan, Liz is rolling around in the closets trying to find some kind of weapon. She finds this razor, essentially. She finds a razor and pockets it. She tells the family, she tells Atticus, show as much tears and fear as you want, because we're not going to be able to hide that we're scared. So we're going to use this period story to get out of here. We're going to say that Atticus needs to go home because she had her period. She's freaking out and she needs to just like get into her own bed. So Ben and I are going to, you know, play adult, and we're just going to take you home. It's going to be totally fine. So they walk out. And this is like, I want to remind you, this next sequence of scenes is like 10 minutes. It's like one essentially long still shot of just them leaving, essentially. They're them trying to leave. So James McAvoy's like trying to convince them to stay. And they say, no, I think we better go. Let's get out of here. So then they pack up their stuff. They get to the car. And of course, guess what's to the tire but a flat tire. So obviously, James McAvoy is like, oh, you guys can't go. You got a flat. So then Ben and Liz are like, don't worry about it. We're going to drive on it. Let's get out of here. So the intensity is extremely high at this moment, where it's almost like James McAvoy is trying to see if they're bluffing, if they know what's going on. He has a little feeling that something's off, clearly. So then James McAvoy says, you know what? Ben and I got this. We'll jack it up. We'll get a new tire on there in no time. Let's get it done. And they're essentially at the will, given that they have to get this gate to open to leave. So Ben says, let's do it. And he follows James McAvoy into this closet where he unlocks, and into this shed where he unlocks this door with like heavy chains and gets in. It's very eerie. It's very dark. And there is tire supplies. There's utensils and all sorts of stuff. But James McAvoy grabs the proper tools, and Ben grabs the jack, and they leave with no tell of any kind of problems. And believe it or not, they put a new tire on, they jack it up, and seems like they're ready to go. And then James McAvoy talks to Atticus. He says, are you sure you're not forgetting anything? Think really hard. What are you forgetting? And then, of course, Atticus goes, Hopper, you know, her little bunny, her stuffed bunny, her emotional bunny. And then James McAvoy looks up at the ceiling. He looks up at the literal roof, and the bunny is sitting at the top of the roof. And he goes, oh, I don't know how I got up there. Maybe one of the animals took it up there. We'll get it for you. No worries. You'll be out in a jiffy. So he says, Ben, you got longer arms. Why don't you get up on this ladder? I'll hold it for you. And so every moment is like James McAvoy could just kill them. I mean, he's like making it so easy. But every moment passes just a little bit. You know, Ben slips on the ladder, gets definitely really intense, gets very freaky trying to grab the bunny because obviously James McAvoy is holding it. Gets a little eerie. The bunny's all ripped up. No big deal. Everyone's just wanting to get out of there and go home. They hug each other. They say goodbye. And so right before they go, Ben says, hey, Ant, go ahead and open the gate for us. So Ant starts sprinting down to open the gate. And then James McAvoy screams at Ant, says, no, stay. And then he just clicks a button and the gate opens. Then the Tesla, they back out and they start leaving. And as they're leaving, no problems, really no problems. It's amazing. They're going to leave. They're going to get out of there. And I think we've got it. So Ben's like, just smile at them and wave. No big deal. And as they're driving away, approaching the open gate, guess what happens? But James McAvoy, the father, just shoves Ant into a pond, throws him. And as we know, Ant can't swim. So James McAvoy just looks at the car and smiles. So now it's on. Now it's on. No more bluffs. No more lying. We definitely know. So Ben says, fuck. So he stops the car right before the gate, and he tells Liz and Atticus to drive away, and they get in the car, and James McAvoy closes the gate. Ben grabs Ant right before he's about to drown, pulls him out of the pond, and then we see James McAvoy holding a gun to Liz and Atticus's head as Ben gets Ant out of the pond. So we learn that their motive is money. So what they do is they take all the money from the people that they kill. So they force at gunpoint both the wife and James McAvoy, tell them to wire all the money that they have into their account. And they're being held hostage, essentially. They've got their arms zip tied and they're forcing them to do this. And then as Liz is wiring the money into their account and, you know, pleading for their lives, essentially, James McAvoy gets this... essentially a chloroform type of liquid ready. It's a liquid version of chloroform that puts people to sleep. And he's getting it ready to give to Atticus. And he's talking about how he's going to put her under so that way it's easier to cut her tongue because it gets really messy. You should see what happened to Ant. And then he looks at Ant and says, Ant, you're done. You were a waste of my time. I'm going to kill you. And it's just so scary. So Liz is about to like freak out and she's like asking Ben to do something. And Ben is just like, I got nothing. I can't do anything. I don't know what to do. So then we get a close up shot of Liz pleading for their life to James McAvoy's wife, like pleading. And as Liz is about to like pass out and freak out, she grabs the razor that she grabbed from the bathroom for her prep and slashes the shit out of James McAvoy's face. Huge, massive cut. And during all this, everyone grabs their own little razors, grabs their guns, and all the hecticness, the James McAvoy's wife gets hit. And so they're both down. James McAvoy is freaking out. The wife is freaking out. And Ant smartly grabs the keys from James McAvoy. And as they're leaving, as Liz is pointing the gun to James McAvoy's wife, she is pleading with Liz to take her with them because I am one of his victims, she is saying. I'm one of his victims. But Ben says, fuck her, we're going. They get in the car, and they're about to go. They got the keys, and as they're driving away, about to get through the gate, they get shot at by the chef's house that they ate at. That chef, he's got a car there and pops them in their mirror, in their driving windshield. Teslas apparently are bulletproof, so it doesn't hurt anybody, I guess. I don't know how that worked out, but it did. I think that does work out. And what they did was they locked James McAvoy and his wife in the like dungeon-esque thing as they left. So then we cut to James McAvoy and his wife, and his wife is like essentially saying, like, let me go, please. So we know that she's kind of a victim, and he says, I'll tell you what, you're in this with me, man. You're in this with me or you're done. You're dying. So pick. And so she just starts making out with him, and she's back in with James McAvoy. The chef opens the door for James McAvoy and his wife and frees them. And he says, like, I hate you, man. I was cool taking half, just doing my thing, but I don't really want to deal with all this shooting stuff. And James McAvoy, as the convincer as he is, says, hey, man, you're going to get good money if you just help us finish this one up. It's not going to be this sloppy ever again. Don't worry about it. So the chef is in. And James McAvoy essentially is like, all right, let's go get these people. So then we cut to the family. Now that they know that they can't escape because they're blocked off at the gate, they go run into the house, into the main house, and they barricade all the doors, barricade all the windows, because they know that there's a landline in the main house to call 911. They also did a really realistic job. Liz calls 911, and it doesn't work. And then she realizes they're in Europe, so she calls in London or wherever the hell, and they call 999, which is cool. I thought that was just a very small detail that was really awesome. So they barricade themselves into the upstairs area, and they have a picture of the house on the side of the wall that they kind of map out and say, maybe we can get to the top and throw, like, we can signal to somebody or, like, make a fire. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we can get to the top and escape that way. Ben, the father, starts freaking out and just like, I can't do anything. I'm helpless. I don't know what I'm doing. And Liz is like, dude, shut the hell up. Be a man, please. Watch your daughter. Watch Aunt. Look at this. Look at them. They're scared. You can't be scared, you little bitch. Which is really cool. It's a really cool, empowering thing for, you know, all sorts of stuff. And as that happens, the lights get turned off. So they cut the landline. They turn the lights off. They couldn't make the phone call. And now it's just like pitch black and dark. They're in the room. And Ben is trying to, like, find something. And as he's doing that, he is able to, like, find some alcohol. And he makes a Mazel Tov, which is like a bomb, essentially, with alcohol and a cloth. And as that's happening, we get crazy James McAvoy with a crazy cut-up face, just screaming like an absolute killer thriller, screaming at the top of his lungs from the outside of the house, saying essentially, I'm going to get you. He's like playing the Shining character, you know, like Jack Nicholson. It's really amazing, but he's like screaming, and he's got these huge bulging muscles and blood everywhere, and it's crazy. So we cut to the parents at the top of the attic trying to throw this Mazel Tov into this hay bale to signal to somebody that they need help, just make something happen. So they have a shooting match against the husband trying to get through the window. Doesn't really happen, but, you know, they throw something onto the car of James McAvoy and it explodes instead of the hay bale. Something explodes, but it's nothing crazy. So win-loss there. They tell the kids it worked, but the parents both know it didn't really work. They barricade more doors. They try to lock themselves in. Then we cut to James McAvoy and the chef game planning. James McAvoy is essentially saying, get to the top of the roof, go, you'll squeeze him out. I'll break in from the floor up. I'll find a way in. The chef is reluctant, but he gets up to the top of the roof, and he's starting to work his way through the top of the attic. Then we cut to the kids hiding in a closet where the parents are essentially saying, don't make a noise until I tell you to come out of this closet. And so they just start finding weapons. Ben and Liz just start looking for weapons in the floor-level house that they are in, essentially trapped in. Ben finds a hammer. Liz finds this acid bleach that, like, is like 91% acid, so do not get it on your skin, like crazy, insane cleaner. So they both have weapons, quote-unquote, of sorts. And we see James McAvoy through, like, a crack in a window noticing Ben, like, just, like, saying, I'm going to get you. You killed my car. You know, you're messing with my stuff. You are a spoiled golden boy, you know. James McAvoy is just, like, freaking crazy amazing actor and just, like, going insane. So as this is happening, he's distracting them because the parents know that the chef has now entered the house from the top ceiling and he's breaking in. So Ben says, I'll go up and fight him, because they have to fight somebody at some point. So now we've got James McAvoy breaking open a door at the basement level. We have his wife/prisoner breaking up, going through the basement floor that they have, like a trap door from the basement They're all entering the house from different points of access, and the chef is now coming down from the top. So Ben is about to go witness this dude come from the attic. And so he plops himself in the cupboard and hides himself at the tippy top, so that way he knows he'll definitely cross paths, but he won't be the first one to fight, because he knows that he's fighting a gun and he has a hammer. He'll probably lose that battle. And as that's happening, we cut to Liz, grabs like a fork. She's got a fork now as well, and she's holding off James McAvoy, like pounding against the door through the barricade, trying to get through. And so now James McAvoy knows where she is. He's trying to like break through, and he's clearly stronger. So he's sticking his arm through the door, trying to push the barricade, and she stabs the hell out of his arm, like crazy stab his arm. So James McAvoy is taking a hit. He gets so angry, he just like kicks open the door. And right before that happens, Liz is able to run through the house into another room. Then we cut to Ben hiding in the closet, and he's laying eyes on the chef with the gun. He's very close, but he's not really, he's not pulling the trigger yet. He's not coming out. He's not going to attack quite yet for some reason. We're not sure why. Then we pan to James McAvoy essentially yelling out to Ant. He's saying like, Ant, you make some noise or I won't put you in the chipper. Like, he's essentially saying, I won't torture you as bad if you make some noise right now. And as that happens, Ant makes like this little like exhale. So then we think that James McAvoy's got the kids. He rips open the closet, and it's the breathing app. The breathing app is in the closet. So it seems like Liz hooked up this loud breathing app on her phone to trap James McAvoy, and she sprays the shit out of him with this acid in his eyes and on his face. So she yells at the kids to go. She's like, kids, leave. Go, 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 go. So James McAvoy is like screaming because he's got acid all over him, freaking out, and he's calling for his wife/prisoner to help him out, get him some water. The kids run up to the attic. Uh-oh, who's in the attic? But the chef with the gun. The chef with the gun pops, he shoots the gun at the kids and the wife, misses, and then Ben seizes this opportunity to attack the chef with the hammer. He misses the initial blow to the head with the hammer, and now he's losing the ground floor battle. And the chef's got him by the head on the floor, about to pierce his eyeball with a broken mirror. And right before he does it, Liz notices and stabs the head of the chef with the back of the hammer and kills him immediately on impact. Ben is like freaking out that he's alive, and Liz is freaking out that she just killed somebody. And then she's like, grab the keys to get the barricade away from the gate from the chef guy. Smart move. And then we pan to James McAvoy and his wife in the shower. They're essentially like showering him down because he's just got acid all over him. And so James McAvoy is like, listen, honey, you have to do this for me. You got to get this done. You got to get this done. So it's all you. It's all you. So this wife or prisoner is clearly so messed up in her head that she feels like she can't, like, even with the pain that James McAvoy is in and the state that he is in, she still can't really escape. She's, like, definitely stuck. So as this is happening, we notice that Ben, his Liz, Ant, and his daughter Atticus are on the top of the roof going to the ladder that the chef climbed up to escape, because they barricade themselves in. They can't really exit any other way. It's a very sketchy, super steep attic, so any slip is extremely detrimental, either to breaking a leg or even death, probably. And as this is happening, as they're all slowly starting to leave the roof onto the ladder, the wife/prisoner is about to pull a shotgun on them, double takes, because it seems like she doesn't really want to kill anybody. But then Liz grabs a brick because she's hiding at the top waiting for her, and whacks the shit out of her head, and she falls down the roof, slams her head on the ground, and she dies. But as she does that, she knocks down the ladder. So they're all stuck on the roof with no ladder, and at least, you know, the wife is dead. So then Ben looks at Liz. Liz looks at Ben, and Ben just jumps off the roof legs first and breaks his ankle, like shatters his ankle on the way down. But he's alive. He's okay. And he finally steps up and does something, which is exciting. And he grabs the ladder and sets it up. The family's coming down the ladder safely, And as that's happening, we cut to like this crazy cool shot of James McAvoy, like acid ripped shirt, acid bleached face, crazy intense makeup, well done, holding a pistol, holding his gun, like walking. And as that happened, we had Atticus run to the car to go get the car. And the family's like backing up because the dad's ankle's all messed up. And we get like this false jump scare where we think he's going to pop out from the corner, but he pops out behind us and he's holding Atticus hostage. Bum, bum, bum. He's holding Atticus hostage. So Liz like begs James McAvoy, please. And obviously James McAvoy says, tell Ben to get his, you know, gun on the ground so they have no weapons anymore, obviously. And now that's just like talking. Essentially, James McAvoy's got a gun to Atticus, the daughter's head. And he's like, you think I'm going to kill her? The golden girl, she could be the one. You know, I'm not going to kill her. You know, I'm going to keep her forever. I'm going to kill all of you guys. I just got to drug her. And then, you know, she now that my wife is dead, because, you know, James McAvoy can see that his wife is dead physically off the roof, she's going to be the one that takes care of me forever. And as that happens, he's going to pull a gun on Liz. We see that Atticus stabs James McAvoy with this syringe that he was going to use on her. So she must have snagged it in all of the crazy hecticness that was the very beginning of this fight, stashed it, and stabbed him. So now he's like really loopy, super sleepy, and passes out. So he's down on the ground, like being all crazy, but like essentially super drugged and like incapacitated. And Ben has a chance to just pull the trigger and shoot him in the head with the shotgun as they step over his body, because they now know they're safe, essentially. You know, they got no one else to worry about. Everyone's dead. And as they're leaving, Ant stops, steps over his body, grabs a big cement rock, and holds it over his head. And as he's doing that, James McAvoy, on his way out from sleep, like going, getting knocked out, he looks at him and says, "That's my boy. That's my boy." And then Ant just brutally, this child actor is insane, by the way. Ant is such a good child actor. He did a fantastic job. But he grabs the cement rock and just beats the living hell out of the head of James McAvoy, his fake father. Because we know that he killed, obviously, James McAvoy killed his parents. And Ant clearly had some pent-up anger, which was really interesting. What was really interesting about that scene was Ant was screaming like James McAvoy was in that therapy scream that he showed Ben at the top of the hill. Very interestingly similar screams, very interesting, like, primal instincts. So it almost seems like Ant, you know, really did seem to take a lesson or two from his fake father in some type of way. And as we do our closing scene, we just get a close-up of everyone in the car as they drive home. You know, everyone's just so distraught, not talking at all. Atticus, the daughter, hands her stuffed bunny to Ant. Ant grabs it with his extremely bloody hands, stares at it, and, like, has this beautiful tear drip down from his eye. Not with, like, smile, not with happiness or anything. You know, no one's smiling in any way. It's just shock, like pure shock. And then it's the closing scene. This was a really cool movie, man. I really want to appreciate the fact that this budget was only $15 million, which is one of the lower budgets that we've seen so far on this podcast. Unfortunately, it did not reach, as of right now, it released September 13th, 2024. I've watched it September 17th, and as of right now, 4 days later, it has only gotten $11.5 million from box office. So opening weekend didn't quite make its money back. This should not be a flop in any way, in my opinion. I think the acting, the child acting versus like the adult acting, was really amazing. I honestly think the children acted better than Ben and Liz, in my opinion. James McAvoy was obviously amazing, but that boy Ant and James McAvoy, they did an incredible job of acting. It was just absolutely brilliant. Very well done. This should not be a flop in the next few days. I believe it'll absolutely get up there. It got an 83% Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb rating. I truly think I would probably rank this Around the same, actually. I think I'd probably give it an 86, I believe, on Rotten Tomatoes, probably a 7.9 on IMDb. I think the cinematography was beautiful. I think the settings they shot in, like genuinely in Europe, I'm sure of it. It was so beautiful, like damn near no green screen at all. It was really, truly amazing. With $15 million budget, it was awesome. I really want to, you know, mention the score as well, the musical score of this. They utilized percussion and the undertones very well. And it wasn't like intense percussion. It was like, if you know percussion at all, it was like a floor tom with like a yarn mallet. So it was just like, dum, 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 dum. And like very out of rhythm, really out of time. And very unique, very not Hans or John Williams-esque, if you will. You know, very well done there. Very unique and very cool. And I honestly think there was no more than like 20 minutes of total music, which is extremely low. There was the absence of music made this super intense, very thrilling, and very, you know, gripping, very gripping. I appreciate you guys listening this far. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Keep downloading for me, everybody. Keep giving me recommendations. This one's in the movie theater, so I got recommended Speak No Evil by a few folks, but keep recommending. I'll keep going ahead and keep giving you summaries. But thanks so much, everyone, for listening. You keep having a great day. Go to Europe because apparently it's beautiful. Gosh, watching this thing is amazing. And speak no evil. Have a good one, guys.
He summarizes his movies so that way you don't have to go pay for them or go to the movies, and you can just listen to them in your car with your downtime. Flick, flick.